one.
Exactly.
All right. We'll call to order the Zone 3 meeting, the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. It's Thursday, January 18th. So, making it a roll call.
Here. Member Shaw?
Here.
Chairman Iketa?
Here.
Member Gehring?
Here.
Member Bernay?
Here.
And Member Hageman?
Here.
So this is a chance for any public comment. And seeing that we don't have anybody here, that means we probably won't have any public comment. All right, so we'll move on to the approval of the minutes from the November 16th, 2017 meeting.
I would move for approval.
Second.
We have approval and a second.
I probably don't need to, but I'll abstain since I wasn't here.
Okay, that's okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. And I abstain also.
All right, we've got a couple. I think we're going to have an operations report from Mark.
Yep, that's going to be me tonight.
Oh, all right.
So I'd like to start off with the monthly operational report on page 6 of your agenda, and then I'll follow up with a daily operational report, which is not in your agenda. So looking at this monthly operational report, it's as of the end of December 2017. This is the report that's given out to the Zone 3 Technical Advisory Committee, so I think some of you have seen it, if not all of you. So you can just look at your respective agencies regarding your annual entitlement, your surplus water, and the total. And then the following columns show what was utilized during the month of December for your entitlement and your surplus. And then the next column over is from the water year, beginning with April to present, which was December. And then that far column on the right is the state water deliveries. The graphs towards the bottom represent the Lopez water entitlement for each month during 2017 from April through December, and then the one to the right is the state water usage. And then the bottom graph that has information relates to the lake elevation. So for the month of December, the elevation was 490.78, it looks like acre feet. The storage was 25,419 acre feet. The rainfall to date, which was December of 2017, was 0.57, and that was for the period of July 1st through December. The downstream releases were 261.96 acre feet for the month of December, and there was no spillage for the month of December.
So, yes. Just one question. So it's 51.7% full, or it was in December?
Correct.
Okay. And then I know I asked this last time we met, and I have the notes at home, but what was it? How full was it last time we met? Is that on this graph from?
That is in the minutes.
Okay.
And it wasn't a big difference.
53%.
Okay. Is that what it says? Okay, 53.
Yeah. Okay.
So we've stayed about that.
Okay.
And so moving on to the operations report, this is more of a daily operations report, and this is as of yesterday, January 17th, and it is similar to what I just read in December, just slight differences. The lake elevation was 490.71 feet. The storage was 25,378 acre feet. We were at 51% capacity. So both the storage and capacity are just slightly less than what I just read from the December operations report. Plant production was 4.6 million gallons per day. The downstream releases were 2.6 million gallons per day, and we are not taking state water at this time, so it's 0 million gallons per day. Are there any questions regarding those reports?
So we're 51% right now. What did we get down to, Mark? On the low last year. Do you remember?
About 11. Well, really close to 10. Oh, I mean, sorry. Yeah.
Mark Hutchinson, for the record, it was very close to 10,000 acre feet, which would have been 20%. We were at 21%, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're looking at the graph on page 7, and well, I'll answer this question if I just looked a little longer, but when is it projected that we would get back to where we were when we were in the bad times?
If you look at that graph, the mm-hmm. horizontal dash mm-hmm. blue line, 20,000 acre feet. So that was the trigger number to implement the low reservoir response plan.
Yep.
And so what this is projecting about November 1st of this year, if the winter matches up to what we saw, not last year, but the two previous years, the average, so the two worst years on record,
mm-hmm.
that's our new worst case analysis,
mm-hmm.
Gets us to 20,000 acre feet in November 1st. So really the conversation at the Technical Advisory Committee is watching this winter. If it doesn't get a whole lot better, likely you'll see the TAC pull out the low reservoir response plan, make some changes in response to some of the rough spots we saw the first time we ran it through, especially how do we get out of it, when and how, and mm-hmm. how does that work. And then bring that forward. And at the same time, county staff would reopen the work with Central Coast Water Authority on the State Water Project and Department of Water Resources and the local state water contractors to start or continue the work on processes and agreements to make state water available as emergency supply if it's needed.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand this. So if we have a winter, and I mean, we're already mid-January, and it hasn't been great. So, if what you're saying is, if we have a winter like we had for the worst 2 years on record of the drought,
mm-hmm.
then by November 1st, we'd be at 20,000 acre feet, which would be the low reservoir response plan.
Right.
Okay.
And then, working with the TAC, we would look at the trigger number, and then the response numbers of what gets cut back when and mm-hmm. all of those sorts of things. In my mind, that part worked well,
mm-hmm.
but agencies would also be assessing their other sources at the same time to see if we stuck with that.
Okay.
And then put the last chapter in that we're sort of making up as we go along right now is what happens when things get better. That's the worst case.
Right.
What's interesting, we want to look at something positive. In those years, if we had had the amount of rain that we've had so far this year,
mm-hmm.
there was no response from the reservoir, continued decline. And even last year, when we got good inflow, the first inch or so of rain, maybe a little more, no response.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea mentioned that the reservoir level in this report is about the same as it was 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Both of our fairly modest rain events that we've had since your last meeting, the reservoir, we saw responses in the reservoir from both of those.
Okay.
Didn't come up a foot. It came up a couple of tenths. And we hadn't seen that for a long time. So watershed remains primed
mm-hmm.
for some good inflow. So we need more rain, but we're not talking like we were 2 years ago about, well, a little rain, but nothing in the reservoir this time. We have that little positive thing going for us at this point.
And then what month last year did we get the really big rainstorm? Was that February?
January, I think.
That was January. Okay. 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 Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Andrea, for that.
You're welcome.
Answers the questions.
You're welcome.
All righty, Andrea. So just one other question on this. This is just a projection, and the way it's looking, we're going to be way below average rainfall, and we got pretty much zero the month of December. The month of January is probably going to be an inch of rain total.
Well, I looked on the water resources, slocountywater.org website, and it looks like the reservoir received about 2.5 inches since December.
Okay.
So that's not reflected on this projection because it's happened since this was created, but we did receive a couple more inches, and this information on the projection chart does correspond with the January 17th ops report from yesterday, so the projections are pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. And like Jill mentioned the last time we met, what we want to look at is really that blue dashed, the dashed blue line, because that's the 20,000 acre feet. Mm-hmm. And I did talk with her this afternoon, and she reminded me that unless the Board of Supervisors implements a water emergency, we will no longer be under the LRRP come April.
Is that, that's not likely, is it?
That they would implement a water emergency?
No, that they would take us out of the aren't you saying there's an opportunity for them to take us out of
if
I should say opportunity is not the right word.
If they declared a water emergency, and I don't know if Mark can speak to that, if there's been discussions.
Yeah, what Andrea is talking about is the discussion at the board last May, June, something when we were coming out of the LRRP and trying to figure out what to do. When they very shortly after the state declared an end to the drought, the board declared an end to the local proclamation of emergency, but extended most of the LRRP requirements, primarily those related to storage accounts, through the end of the water year, which is March 31st. So barring, no more rain for some period, we would expect that everything would reset with the new water year starts April 1st. The LRRP remaining components would no longer be in effect. But that's why the agencies are managing the water the way they are, and also why the TAC is already mulling over. If the year continues, we can see our work through the summer prepping to go back to the LRRP sometime in November.
All righty. So, and I'm sure that I didn't make the last TAC meeting, but this going below 20,000 and above 20,000 is going to trigger every time, and somehow we got to get away from that where we, if every time it happens, let's say it happens around March every year, that's going to be at the Board of Supervisors are going to be every March having to make a decision. Does that sound correct?
Well, that's possible. And sometimes the way things go, it bounces in and out. We do have an adaptive management component to the LRP so that going into a dry winter, you know, it doesn't trigger it in October and then rain a little bit and go above and all of that sort of thing. So the TAC and the advisory committee can smooth that out. I think what you're talking about is, you know, 5 years in a row, mm-hmm. We're going from 25,000 in the winter to 15 in the summer. That would be a challenge on the paperwork side, mostly. And then, as you know, I just mentioned, work on possible contract revisions related to storage accounts and things is underway, and that would handle that kind of a contract revision would make a lot of the LRRP unnecessary. And then there's been some talk, as if we go back into the contract to look at the LRRP, some of the delivery reduction things, and decide whether we want to just build those in the contract so it becomes more or less automatic.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, we can move on to the information items. I think that's you again, Andrea.
Okay, so I wanted to point out the January 2018 map. I was actually a little surprised when I downloaded this map to see that the moderate drought conditions in Southern California, as well as the abnormally dry conditions, have actually spread. That was the first time I had seen that. I know there's been some talk, you know, what's it going to look like, but that was you know, it was interesting and a little disappointing to see. But again, it corresponds with the amount of rainfall that we have not received lately. And then moving on to the NOAA temperature forecast for January for San Luis Obispo County, we are at above average temperatures, which I haven't had an opportunity to wear any of my coats lately. I'm a little disappointed. And then the next slide for the NOAA precipitation forecast, again, it's pretty common for our county. With this forecast, it looks like we have equal chances of above average, average to below average rainfall for this time of year. And then I do know that we're expected to receive some rainfall next week, but I don't think it's going to be very much as of now. But I have been sitting in on some National Weather Service webinars, so if I'm expecting them to have some sort of webinar that I can listen to, and they usually they're pretty accurate with their forecasts. So I listened to it last week before we got that rainfall, and they were spot on. So that's it for the climate update.
Okay. We need a Lopez Spillway Assessment update. I think that's you, Mark, isn't it?
Yes,
that is it. So I was just looking at the notes from the last meeting. Jill Ogren brought you up to speed on where we are with a lot of those tasks. As far as the assessment of the spillway, the request for proposals, is going through its final review before we put that out. Department of Water Resources approved the work plan back last fall at some point, and at the same time let us know and officially that we are in a low priority status as far as their workload in reviewing things, which is based on their confidence in Lopez Dam, hopefully, and not their belief that we're not going to be using the spillway anytime soon. Short delay in that. David Spiegel, who's been here, has a new Spiegel, so he's taking a couple of weeks off to get to know William. But we expect the RFP to go out on the street in the next month or so. And the important thing there is to see what sort of cost estimates we get coming back from that and whether or not we need to come and talk about budget for it. Along with that, you'll recall that the legislature stepped in at the very last hour at the last legislative session and made some changes to the program. That's how Lopez Dam went from a high hazard to an exceptionally high hazard. And again, for the listeners, and I see Jim, the engineer, frowning because all the engineers frown, like, what, you know. Those terms, high hazard, low, moderate, and exceptionally high, have nothing to do with the condition of the dam, the reservoir, the spillway, or anything else. It simply relates to what's downstream, how many people live there, and what are the improvements worth down there. So that put us in the exceptionally high. It doesn't trigger any new requirements whatsoever. All of the dams have to update their inundation maps. Which, by the way, if people are interested, it is on our website. And it shows where the water would be, how long it would take, and how deep it would be if there was a catastrophic failure of the dam. We have the new draft. We can't release it until it's approved by Department of Safety of Dams. They have it now, and they're looking at it. The interesting news is that the old map was done in the late 1990s. The new map was done with all the computer tricks that they have. So we'll be able to show you what happens if the dam were to immediately disappear or if the dam were to fail under the what they consider the most likely scenario, you know, the slow failure and all those differences. But as far as downstream impacts, it's pretty much the same. We're also producing a new inundation map for the terminal reservoir. Which is in an odd category. It doesn't in and of itself trigger all of these requirements because of the small capacity of the reservoir and the lower height of the dam, but because it's considered an appurtenant facility to the main dam, they wanted to add it together. So we'll have that stuff. We're going to take that inundation map once it's approved and update what's called an emergency action plan. And as we discussed last time, the county has had an emergency response plan, which is a state term. Emergency action plan is a federal term. And we've looked at our state document, which is all put together with all of our emergency response plans, Diablo Canyon, everything else. That one's going to be slip in the new map and rearrange all the paragraphs to match the federal format from the state. So we didn't see any major issues there. I would point out that at Oroville, which triggered all of this, Department of Water Resources has a website with links to all kinds of things. The Federal Independent Review Team, the IRT, has released their second interim report. They're investigating what went wrong and why it went wrong. It's a little bit long, about 500 pages, but it's also both revealing and exceptionally critical of the Department of Water Resources. From our perspective, we know that the interim repairs to that spillway are complete. Additional work on the emergency spillway is ongoing. They're putting a cutoff wall for some geologic reasons. And they plan to come back in the spring and continue work on the main spillway to continue to do additional work. Right now, that project response total is somewhere north of $600 million. They have not yet told us, as a state water customer and our subs, we don't yet know how DWR is going to go about building that out. So for the agencies that are also state water agencies, we'll be keeping them updated via the local subcontractors advisory committee on costs. But for Lopez Dam, things are looking good for the spillway so far. We have some really good questions for our engineering team once we get them on board, to make sure that the facility is tip-top shape and ready to store as much water as we can get in the reservoir going forward.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Mark? No. Okay, moving on to the fiscal 2018-19 budget. Christy?
Hi. Hello. So Christy Smith, County Public Works Finance. I'm here to distribute your fiscal year 18-19 proposed budget for Zone 3. Let's see, early next week I'll be mailing out the budget books to all the Finance Committee members, and then they're going to distribute their hard copies to the city managers and other related staff. Also next week, everyone on the Zone 3 contact list, which includes this committee, alternates, the TAC, and their alternates, will all receive a PDF version. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So real briefly, just for everybody who's new, the TAC discussed and finalized the non-routine O&M and capital sections. At their meeting on February 14th, the TAC will receive their budget books and then have another opportunity to discuss. Also in February, I'll be meeting with all of the Finance Committee members to review the budget. I encourage you guys to meet with your Finance Committee members before that meeting, but we haven't set the date yet, so that's to be determined, and we'll send that email out. On March 22nd, I'll be back here at the advisory committee meeting to give you a brief presentation and then ask for your endorsement. After it's endorsed, we're going to go to the County Board of Supervisors in mid-June for it to be adopted. So very briefly, the 18-19 budget reflects an overall increase of 2.9% in the billing to the agencies. And last year, the increase was only 2.7, so we tried to keep it really close to a similar increase. Much of the proposed increase is due to an increased number of non-routine O&M items Last year, we had a lower than normal amount of items in that category. So this year, the increase looks really large, but we're actually right around the normal amount that we ask for. Let's see. These items were things that arose mid-year, and they're supposed to be continuing into next year. And then there's also new items that the TAC prioritized for the upcoming year. Routine O&M billings are up 4.3%, and then our capital outlay billings are at $505,000. This category is customarily billed at $550,000, but we didn't do that this year because of the number of the non-routine O&M items. We didn't want to bill you anymore. So I will see you in March. Any questions?
Anybody have any questions?
Okay. Thanks.
All right, thank you. A lot of numbers, kind of great to me, actually, sometimes. But just so there's really no, as far as there's nothing, no glaring changes. I mean, to help us out a little bit.
Where to look, huh? No. I think the non-routine O&M, if you look at, let me grab a budget book. On page II, the second page in the book, back up one to page I, the very first one, you'll have a nice little table that kind of gives you an overview of what 17-18's budget looked like, and then what the 18-19 proposed budget looks like, and the changes. So that's pretty much what I just read to you right now. Your billable routine didn't go up very much, 4.3%. The non-routine, it looks a little scary. It's 146%, but that's, like I explained, 17-18, we hardly had any items that were on the budget that year. This year's budget is kind of more back on the normal, you know, schedule, so it looked like a large increase. But overall, we tried to keep the bills from increasing between that 2%, 3% range, so we're right within there. That's where we've been historically for the last 5-6 years. So.
All right. That helps. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Christy, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do we have any, like, balloon payments or things out there that we should be aware of?
Like for debt, you mean?
Yeah, or just
no, debt's
big,
kind
big
of
projects.
On
projects.
We're on cruise control with the debt. Projects, I don't know of anything. That might be more of an engineering kind of question, upcoming things, or TAC even.
Yeah.
But in terms of future, no, I was more concerned with the more immediate year. I know what's coming up next year, but yeah, not much beyond that.
I mean, we've been going along at a fairly, you know, the 500,000 or so clip on the capital side.
Yes.
Seems to be fine.
We
just
try to
wondering
keep
if
you
we've got,
consistent.
You know, a shelf or a, and I'm on the TAC, and I don't know of any either, but I just was thought.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. At the last TAC meeting, Dave Spiegel had his 5-year capital outlay plan. It had the non-routine O&M items and the capital mm-hmm. items. And I know that their columns go out several years, but I usually don't pay much attention to those columns. But that's where I would look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you. All right. Capital projects update.
Okay. So I'll be presenting that update. That's on page 11 of the packet. So work is continuing and it's ongoing for equipment audit and replacement at the Lopez Water Treatment Plant to remain proactive rather than reactive. As Mark mentioned, the draft RFP is in review for the spillway assessment. And again, as he mentioned, for the Lopez Dam and Terminal Dam hazard classification, the inundation maps have been submitted to the Division Safety of Dams for review. And the emergency action plans are in preparation. It's actually being reviewed right now by County OES, the Office of Emergency Services. We're in contract review for the structural assessment of the terminal reservoir. And we are requesting quotes for the equipment storage, which is additional storage out of the Lopez Water Treatment Plant, and we're in contract review for the fault zone assessment, the dam left abutment project. The Lopez Water Treatment Plant safety upgrades, we are working towards implementing changes that were recommended in a safety assessment that was done within the past 2 years. And we are getting quotes for repair work of the domestic and fire tank. We're also receiving quotes for the analyzers, the ammonia analyzer, which is lab equipment, and we're determining where that equipment will be located. Upcoming projects for this year into 2018 are pressure transducers related to our SCADA, the cathodic protection survey, which involves inspection of pipelines for corrosion, and rebuilding membrane feed pumps, and we're looking at doing one of those per year. May I answer any questions that you have about those projects? No?
Anybody have any questions? No, thank you.
You're welcome.
So moving along quickly here, there's really no action items 7 or 8, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And now we're looking at future agenda items. Would this be a time that we would talk about these, or are we just trying to add to this list?
Well, I'd like to talk about A and B here.
Okay,
Provide you with an update, and then we can discuss items that you'd like to see on future agendas. So I was hoping to have our water resources staff engineer, Ray D'Enzo, be here this evening so he could show you the new SlocCountyWater.org website and take a look at those groundwater levels and reservoir levels and rainfall and stream levels. He's a teacher at Cuesta, and today's the first day of school, so he forgot that it was the first day of school, so I had him on the agenda, and I hadn't heard from him, so I followed up with him last week, and he felt really bad that he isn't able to be here tonight. So I said, how about March? So we are planning on having him for March. So that's associated with the webpage, and then also, as we discussed at our last meeting, how to find those groundwater levels. And then the Lopez Lake Safe Yield, that's something that I think Jill touched upon our last meeting, and we had a discussion about safe yield and what is safe yield, and that mm-hmm. it looked like we were pretty good on that. And as she indicated, that the modeling work that we're doing right now will help determine the safe yield. So I don't have an update on that right now. I'm just leaving it on there because when we have that model completed, we'll be able to determine what the safe yield is. But I guess whatever we have right now is pretty accurate so far. So if there's anything else that you'd like to see on the agenda, I'm happy to take note of it and add it.
Anybody have anything that they'd like to see in the future agendas? What about the cloud seeding? Is that something that we could talk about again, just an update for everybody? I think these guys would probably like to take it back to their
city. Sure, I can always council. Add it. And do you have an update, Mark?
Not right now.
Okay.
No, you don't need an update now, but I think especially with the disaster that just happened in Montecito, if I remember correctly, we were going to kind of team up with Santa Barbara County.
Yeah, we were in discussions with Santa Barbara County as well as Monterey County. I know Jill spoke with both of those agencies, and I think there was even a cost estimate. And I do remember the committee suggesting that we continue to move forward with that in case we do get back into those drought conditions, we would have that ready. I don't know if any what's been done since then, but I'm happy to put it on the agenda.
Okay. Yeah, I think it'd be good. I mean, I'm sure that Santa Barbara is super gun-shy now. You know,
probably so busy right
well,
now.
I mean, gun-shy about cloud seeding. When, you know what I'm talking about, Mark? I mean,
yeah, I can. Tom Fayram is the deputy director down
okay.
there. And they do the cloud seeding. They obviously weren't doing any cloud seeding in advance of this last storm. Just a couple of quick stats. We have a last Friday, in response to a request, sent a team of four, three from County Public Works and one from the City of San Luis Obispo, to Montecito. specifically to attempt to repair or assess the damage to their raw water line that comes from Jameson Lake, which is on the San Ynez River, well above Kachuma. They have a reservoir there. 18-inch steel pipe crosses the San Ynez River, a couple of creeks, then tunnels through the mountain and then down to Montecito. They also have state water, which is they're operating on. So our team arrived down there Friday night and then Saturday morning. Hiked in 7.5 miles on foot, identified all the breaks, mapped them all out, came up with a repair plan. Following behind was a contractor we brought along clearing the road, so they only had to walk 5 miles back out. Their conversations with some of the staff at Montecito Water reveal some numbers that people are still trying to grasp and even verify. There were rain gauges that showed in the mountains, hills just above Montecito, there was a rain event. I've got to get this number. 1 inch of rain. No, 0.8 inches of rain, so a little more than 3/4 of an inch of rain in a 10-minute period. The gauges at Jameson Reservoir tracked that same cell as it went over the ridge at 1.5 inches in 10 minutes, which is an amount of rainfall that we've just, not, you know, nobody's ever seen or anything like that. So they didn't have, 3 days of rain or a widespread storm or something, which is what a cloud seeding program would be after. There was very low-level storm moving south to north, and when it ran into those relatively low couple thousand feet ridges behind Montecito and Santa Barbara, just that little bit of uplift, orographic uplift they call it, it just simply unloaded. Interesting to relate things, it's a similar kind of effect that the county saw in 2001. If you'll recall, there was a short-term rain event moving south to north that hit the Tematati Ridge and dumped water into Los Barros Creek, which washed away bridges, left the high water mark in Upper Loperis Canyon that's tremendous, and then when it got down to the Rio Grande Levee, made a left turn right below the, or right above the railroad, or below the railroad tracks, and out into the field and flooded everything. So it can happen. And we didn't have gauges up there measuring that sort of stuff. But it's the kind of storm that if you talk to the cloud seeding people, they would not go near that kind of a potential effect coming along. So a lot of lessons to be learned from that event down there, and we're still doing that. We had a team down there today, I think, of 5 people also assisting Montecito Water and those folks to get their water supply up and running.
Thank you. I was actually, I guess I'm, my point was going to be that I wanted us to keep on this cloud seeding thing, and the people need to be educated that that cloud seeding wouldn't have, it didn't cause that.
No. And, you know, it's interesting. We're attempting to partner with Monterey County. One of the things that shut down their last cloud seeding program was a fire in the Big Sur area. And they couldn't guarantee that cloud seeding wouldn't put water in the burn area, so they stopped seeding. For us, you know, if we were cloud seeding above Lopez, if we did have a significant burn above Lopez or the next watershed, which was Santa Margarita, likely that would probably lose 2 to 3 winters, you know, before the watershed recovered, that you just wouldn't want to, you know, knock things loose and, in our case, cause all kinds of water treatment problems with what flows in the reservoir. So it's a careful program. There's a lot of detail that goes into it, and certainly these kinds of things, watershed conditions are a major, major part of it.
Thank you. Any other additions to the future agenda items? Jim, anybody else? I just wanted to make one other comment about, you know, we usually don't even bring up water conservation in January and February because it's raining and everything else, but I'm really worried we're not going to get any rain at all, and we're going to be right back where we were in 2016 in no time, and I'd love to see that sign that Shane put in the village for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you would, yeah, that electronic one.
Yeah.
that got all kinds of press. There was all the TV and everything, you know. I mean, a sign like that in February would really shake people up.
May I make a comment about that?
Sure,
I attended a Partners in Water Conservation meeting this week, and so there's representatives from the different agencies within the county. Kelly Heffernan from the city of Arroyo Grande was there, and we were going around the table talking about our water conservation measures, and she reminded me being a resident of Arroyo Grande, that we still have the water restrictions limited to 2 days a week depending on where you live. And I live in a homeowners association. I don't water my own yard. I don't have a yard. But I haven't seen that information lately, and that would be helpful as a resident to just maybe put it out there again, because I do believe people are doing a decent job at water conservation. I really do believe it's become a habit, but it would be nice just to be reminded of what those days are.
And what the and is this on still? Yeah. And I think I brought that up a couple meetings ago, because according to Shane, the citizens of AG were still really conserving, not quite as well as they were during the drought, but it was pretty close. But my point being that I didn't want people to go back to the old habits, and I want to say perhaps the city of AG had either posted on the website, or I requested that those same rules where you can't wash your driveway down, you have to water your, or you have to wash your car with a nozzle that that turns on and off. All those are all still in effect. It's just the actual mandatory restriction as far as the percentage. So I'll bring that up when I report out on this meeting. At our next council meeting, because personally, I was kind of the lone dissenter for AG when we were talking about taking those restrictions away, because I really felt like we'd only had 1 year of rain, and I didn't think it was time to just jump back into taking those restrictions away, but I lost that battle, so...
And those restrictions that you mentioned regarding the runoff and washing your car, those are state mandated permanent restrictions, and they are working on a draft right now of water regulations. So there's public comment review for that right now, but those do remain in effect for all Californians.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome.
All right. We're on the committee member comments. Anybody have any comments they'd like to share? All right. Mark, Andrea? Okay.
I guess I could say something.
Jim,
briefly.
Go ahead.
If you...
I'd be disappointed if you didn't speak up this meeting.
You know, last year was a relatively wet year, as they go, but it didn't erase the cumulative deficit in rainfall that has occurred since, in my view, about 2007. So... Kristen's absolutely right that just because you have one wet year doesn't mean you're done with the drought. You're not out of the drought. We are not out of the drought until our cumulative deficit has been cured, in my view at least. Mm-hmm. So we need several fairly wet winters to do that, and it doesn't look like we're going to get one this year.
That's for sure.
The other thing that strikes me is, and I had heard that rainfall rate that Mark quoted before at 0.8 inches in 10 minutes, which is an hourly rate of 4.8 inches an hour on a 10-minute storm. And just locally here for Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach area, 3.2 inches an hour is a 100-year 10-minute storm. So that was way above what we consider to be a 100-year 10-minute storm here anyway. Not sure about what it was in Santa Barbara County. I don't have their rainfall intensity duration curves at hand, but so it's something to think about in land planning. It's always been my view that there ought to be an overland escape route along drainage courses in case of things like that, because debris and mud flows, first thing they do is plug up your drainage system, and so it has to go overland. So, food for thought.
All right. Any other comments? Okay. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Nice short meeting, Bart.